So I've chosen to continue on in the book of Revelation rather than developing some message in and around Christmas, but the book of Revelation includes Christmas. Did you guys know that? Well, not the word Christmas, but in chapter 12, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon at her feet, and on her head the crown of 12 stars. She was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns. On his heads were 7 diadems. His tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that she, when she gave birth, he might devour the child. That's Israel and the Messiah. Not just a little baby Jesus born in little baby Bethlehem. You know, I mean, those things are there, they're solid, they're in place, but Messiah was born. Messiah was born. Satan, from the very beginning, wanted to destroy all that he came to do. He is still at work trying to do that very thing. She gave birth to the Son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Prophetic about Jesus from the Old Testament, brought into the New Testament. Prophetic about Jesus. And her child, Jesus, we know him as, was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared for her. And the chapter goes on to talk about all the persecution against the Jewish people, against the followers of the Messiah as well. It does talk about Christmas, but not the glittery one that we usually think of at this time of year. The birth of Messiah. As I shared with you, I wanted this on the recording as well. Abigail forwarded to us an email from her dear friend, a lady named Bert. And I'm unclear about Bert's age. She's younger than me, is what I was told. She was a lady that was a missionary in Romania. So those of us that went on that team to Romania in 2013, Bert kind of help Abigail, you know, to figure out what's going to happen when she gets there to Romania. So very dear to her heart for a lot of years. Bert has been suffering from COVID for several weeks. And she writes, I think this, Abigail might have added this, I don't know. This hurts. Oh, that's Abigail. Fifth update from Bert. I want you to hear Bert's words. Hi there. This was 2 days ago. Thought I should give an update on my health situation. You know, these bodies of ours are powerfully and wonderfully made, yet they are weak, and the tiniest bug can just undo. Sigh. I knew in the beginning this would be a battle, and medical science didn't have answers. So here I am, throwing another stump into the situation. Making a long story short, the docs have taken care of everything except my lungs. I actually feel good. Joking, being sassy, that's what she was known for. But my body is slowly shutting down, and they don't know how to stop it. My family has been called. Of course, no one can visit. I think I'm just going to go to sleep and not wake up. Due to lack of O2. It has bred It has been a grand adventure. How can it not be when one walks with the Lord? ! For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Go out and celebrate life. Sing songs of praise. How great thou art. It is well with my soul. The blessing song. There was Jesus. Guess that's it. I'm hanging out in the waiting room, waiting for Jesus. Merry Christmas. And she died some hours later.
Wow. Praise God.
She died some hours later, which means she saw him some hours later.
Amen.
Her body died. according to the scripture that I know, she is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
I think that's real appropriate Christmas time. I think it's real appropriate looking at the book of Revelation. In going through reading and rereading this book, we are in chapter 22. We are going to make some progress. And I'm not just trying to milk the time, okay? There's stuff that I want to deal with here. Those accusations are false, and I won't name any names. But as I still am rereading this book like never before, truly, truly never before, I've had to ask, what was John's motivation for writing this book? Rather, what was the Lord's motivation or purpose for writing this book? This book has been a source of ministry to followers of Jesus since 90 AD. Through nearly 2,000 years of church history, followers of Jesus have read this book. A surface and incorrect conclusion is that because of the many things that have not yet happened, it was not for those past generations. It's only for certain people in the distant future. And I'm saying, no. No. Thinking back about the big picture of Revelation before we progress here, and I think it's time to do this, my mind has come up with at least six different purposes of the book of Revelation. Let me walk through those. Number one, encouragement. Encouragement to Christians going through difficult times, including persecution, tribulation, godless governments, and maybe we can throw COVID type of things in there. Because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It shows us the gain. Down through the years, Christians have had reason to believe their generation was starting into the end times, including 90 AD. Yet here we are, 2,000 years later, thinking the same thing. Man, we're starting into the end times. But one generation will be that generation. Encouragement. Number two, warning. Revelation purpose, encouragement, warning to those who reject the Lord God, both religious and non-religious. Number three, clarification of the two opposite sides, God's and Satan's, and of how a person is truly saved and placed into the right relationship with God. The fourth purpose, invitation. Invitation to renounce the world and Satan's shams to follow God. And though the price to pay will be difficult, the eternal loss is far worse. It is an invitation to follow God. The fifth purpose, application. Heed. Heed what is written in the book. We're told in chapter 1 and chapter 22. We're looking at that this morning. Heed what is written in this book. Follow the admonitions and respond with worship. The sixth purpose, and there may be more, education, enlightening us about the events and the characters of the end time. God told us all ahead of time so we would pay attention. It seems to me that this final purpose of those six gets far more attention, however, than the others, as people treat this as a puzzle, trying to fit it into their generation. And the whole focus of Revelation is just about, who is it, when is it, where is it, what's going to happen, and how does it fit in the world around me? Missing the encouragement, the warning, the clarification, the invitation, and the application. It's not just about trying to puzzle fit it into our life. It's not. And that is probably my biggest hesitation for teaching the book of Revelation since I've been in ministry, early 1980s. I've never taught it before. And now I see these other purposes and I say, yeah, let's go through it again. Okay? Chapter 22. There's two things I want to pull out of the first paragraph and then proceed on from verse 6. In verse 3, and there shall no longer be any curse. That statement, actually, my brother Michael and his family, Drevenstedt, usually running the sound equipment in the back, called this morning and said, our family's sick, we're staying home. And I said, thank you. But I said, and it's not too bad. A couple of them are sick, so it looks like it might be running the house, whatever it is. But I said, just remember there's a day coming when there's not going to be a curse. That curse is a reference to the brokenness, the hate, the sickness and death that has been brought on this planet through our rebellion from the very beginning. No more curse. It's our fault. Clear back to Adam and Eve. It's described back in chapter 21, verse 4, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away, the things that won't be in heaven. You know what? This is really cool. I like this really a lot. It hit me this morning. There's not going to be any masks in heaven. No social distancing in heaven. And we can go on and on with the things that won't be there. No curse. Verse 6 of chapter 22. Let me pull this out. He said to me, these words are faithful and true. The words faithful and true is a repeat of 21:5. Chapter 21, verse 5, he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, record this, record these words, for these words are faithful and true. I want to reword that slightly. Here it is. Are you ready? God is telling the truth. Pretty basic. God is telling the truth. These things will happen. These words are faithful and true. Let's proceed down the rest of 6 and into chapter 7. Verse 7, excuse me. These words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants, that's everybody that read what John wrote, the things which must shortly take place. The word shortly, Greek word takous. We've had it from the beginning of the book. I'm going to point it out again several more times actually this morning. Takous. That word here, it's rendered shortly, but it doesn't mean like in an hour and a half. It doesn't mean like, oh, next month on the calendar. It means once it begins to happen, it is going to ramp up, speed up. It's going to hit it hard. The things which must takous take place. And behold, I am coming quickly, Jesus says. The word quickly is the word takous. Once it happens, it's going to happen fast. In fact, how fast is in a moment in the twinkling of an eye? Yeah. Behold, I am coming takous. When it begins to happen, when the time is right, it's going to speed up and happen. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. In chapter 22, verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, takous. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming, takous, quickly. The reminder over and over in this book, once it starts, in whatever generation, there's not going to be any holding it back. It is going to speed up and move forward. It's going to happen quickly. It's also portrayed back in chapter 16. You need to see this. Chapter 16. Just this odd entry at verse 15. He's dealing with the seven plagues that are poured out on the end time. Okay? We are to the sixth plague, verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates. Its water was dried up that it might be prepared for the kings from the east. That's to mount up on against Jerusalem and against Israel to meet in that territory. It says, I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, that's Satan and the Antichrist, out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons, and here's what they're doing, performing signs which go out to the kings of the world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. And then this obscure insertion, parenthesis, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garment. Jesus is talking here. No question about that. Lest let him keep his garment, and that's going to be important in just a few moments. Hang on to that one. Blessed is the one that stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. The idea of coming quickly is the same as the idea of coming like a thief. All of us who have ever been ripped off by a thief know that picture. It happened when you weren't looking. It happened when you went home. It happened when you weren't ready. Stay awake. Keep watching. Let's go back to chapter 22. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Your Bible might use the word keeps. Blessed is he who keeps rather than the word heed. Ooh, I did some digging in this and I had some fun. I want to show you how the book of Revelation starts out with an introduction, ends up with a conclusion, and they're saying the same thing. Chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things that are written in it, for the time is near. This word heed, or translated keeps. But what, we might ask, are we to keep? Right? What are we to heed? What are we to hang on to? And I would say it this way, take it personally. Don't try to explain it away. Don't just place it in a little storage box marked eschatology and stick it in the attic. Really, that's what it means. Thayer's lexicon helped me. Heed is the Greek word tereo. That's not overly, you know, moving to our hearts, but what it means is to watch over, to guard, thus to keep. Hang on to it. Attend to carefully as if a virgin daughter. That's how the word is used. Guard her. Guard her from anyone encroaching to take that girl from you in a bad way. The act of watching or guarding so as to allow one to escape safely out of harm's way. So there comes the warning in there that we who understand are encouraging others and holding on to, heeding, it's true, to allow one to escape from the coming wrath is how I would apply that. That's what Thayer says. Please go back to chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, Jesus says, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments. The word keeps, tereo. It doesn't mean the one who keeps his garments, like, don't you dare take my shirt. I don't want to be naked. It doesn't mean that. It's talking about garments of righteousness of Christ. Guard them. Ooh, all of a sudden this takes on new flesh to it. a new application, new understanding. Guard what you're clothed in Christ. In other words, walk it out in a way that's worthy, a manner that's worthy of that calling of you. Keep the garment so that, or lest he walk about naked and men see his shame, a shameful thing to name the name of Christ and not walk the walk.
Amen.
That is called something about taking the name of the Lord in vain, back in Ten Commandments, right?
Amen.
Saying his name as if it's your own and then doing a whole other thing is taking it in vain. It's not talking about swearing as we use it today. Although that maybe have some application. Don't say this and do that. And that is what this verse is loaded with. Walk it, otherwise there is shame that is coming. The righteousness of Christ, that white robe is going to be soiled. It is not going to be something that's attractive to anyone else. It's going to put the lie to Christ as if it's his fault. Keep the garments. Guard the garments. Okay, so back here, chapter 22. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds, guards the words of the prophecy of this book. And that gets bigger as we come to the end of the chapter. We're not going there this morning. In the next two verses, I told you last week, this really ends the book of Revelation. This really ends what was revealed to him, and now the application comes. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I mean, this is all that he saw. However long it took, we have no idea. It could have been in a split second, because God is able to do that. Matter of days, weeks, we have no idea how long it took. Doesn't even matter. When I heard and saw these things, it's John backing up and putting the whole thing in front of him. When I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And the angel said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren, the prophets, and here we come, and of those who heed the words of this book." That's anybody down through the ages that has taken this personally. By the way, the taking of it personally has to do with encouragement and warning, clarification, invitation, application, and then checking to see if it fits in your culture and time. I'm a fellow servant of yours, John, and of your brethren, the prophets, the ones that have been saying this all along, and of all those who will heed the words of the prophecy of this book. Worship God. See, there's the application. There is the application for the one that's paying attention, the one that's taking heed. He's staying awake. He's guarding that word and leaving it at, in fact, at the end of the book, what does it say? The curse is upon them that changes this, adding to or taking away. We'll get there here in sometime in the future. Interesting to me, why would John fall down and worship or to worship at the feet of this angel? I mean, this is John that just experienced all this. What is he doing? Any ideas? Fear and awe? Overwhelmed, I believe. This is too much. This is a grand being. Wow, in fact, somehow God's represented here. But even John is human, and in his humanness didn't have it. I don't think he reasoned through, "Well, I'm going to fall down and worship this angel now." I don't think that was it. But I think he wasn't at this point, not to sling mud at all. I mean, I'm amazed at this guy. But rather, he didn't think this last part quite through, and the angel helped him out. This angel who says, "I am a servant of yours and of all the prophets and of everyone who heeds the words of this book," that means he's still serving us. He's probably got some helpers too. Angelic beings that I cannot see, touch, taste, feel, smell are assisting me. This isn't the only scripture that talks about that. Conclusion, it's all about God. Amen. Worship God. Give full attention to, full obeisance to, in that sense, full worship to God. That is the application of this book. It is not be the first guy on the block to get the puzzle correct. And look at how it fits into my culture and time. And it's about to happen. Now, application of that, man, it seems like things are speeding up to me. In recent year and months, it would be easy for me to say, thus saith the Lord, you know, Jesus is coming back in 12 minutes. No, I'm not doing that. But I am saying, pay attention, this could be the generation. And like Peter says in 2 Peter, our response should be to walk in a certain way of holiness and to worship God. Worshiping God is going to carry us on through to His presence, just like our dear sister Bert, whose letter I just read, the last things that she penned while still on this earth. Wow, what an encourager! What an encourager! And there is what the Word of God in this book is trying to do. Encourage us, get out of the fog of this world, worship Him clearly. It's opened up for interaction, questions or comments. I apologize if it's too short this morning, you know. Questions or comments, any interaction?
Well, Jesus says earlier on, using that word, that means to keep, which is those who love me keep my commandments. You know, and as far as like keeping your garments clean, just living a life that you're absolutely, you know, you don't touch the fireplace because you believe it's going to burn you. You know, it's just like disobeying God is going against what you proclaimed us to be partaking in our lives.
And it always bites us. That's why Proverbs 14:12 says its end is the way of death. There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It bites us. It scars us. It hurts us. It's against us. So yeah, keeping. And I think that is the same word, tereo, when Jesus used that. Somebody else. Thank you, Kate. Go ahead.
And that can go two ways, too. To heed or to keep. It can warn us against the wrong, but we also can rejoice in that as we pay attention and walk in His ways. If we are heeding all those things, if we're heeding and paying attention to our relationship with Christ, it's not just about trying to stay away from all that's bad. It's about running into His love.
It is.
And living the highest life here possible, whatever else is going on around us, because of His goodness.
Amen.
And I think that's another way to heed it.
Thank you. I agree 100%. Good. Thank you, Cliff.
Mm-hmm. So, I've been studying through Isaiah 55 this week, and it just is so beautiful, because basically what that chapter's talking about is what the prophet is saying to Israel, because they're coming out of Babylon, and he's promising all of this. But it definitely is for us as well. And it says, you know, to come all you who are thirsty. And I'm just going to skim. And then he says, come, buy wine and milk. And then listen to me, that you may live. And then it says, seek the Lord while He can be found. And then it says, turn to the Lord. I mean, all of these things. And the beautiful thing is that He would call us like that. And He would say, come on, guys, come on. You know, and through the ages do that, you know, for all of us. But at the very end, it says, because I'm holy, because I'm not like you, I am holy. And you can't figure this thing out. trust me, just come and believe. And then he says, and that at that point, when you start to see it happen, then the trees and the fields are going to clap their hands, and there's going to be this outrageous joy, you know? And it's so beautiful to me, because really and truly, when you do encounter Holy Spirit, that is what happens inside of you. And that's the promise for all of us, you know? And then he says, and your response will be just what you're talking about, worship. Your response, and it is for his renown, and that's what it says, for his renown. Not because I'm so cool, I'm perfect, I've made it. No. It's because you want everybody to see him, the beautiful one.
Thank you. Yeah, verses 8 and 9 there also. My ways are not your ways.
That's right.
My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and your thoughts, my ways and your ways. I may have the order mixed up, but he's got a point. You don't get it. It's okay. I got it covered. Got it covered. Somebody else. Anybody else? Go ahead. Agatha, why don't you prepare? Yeah. Go ahead.
Just mentioned about the trees clapping their hands in the field. It's really just jumping with God out there. The breeze comes by, the flowers, and the leaves clapping. Listen, in the wind, you can hear them clapping. You're standing on the shore of a lake, you know. The lapping of the water flaps over you from praise God.
Okay.
And the ocean is roaring. Praise God. These are all things that God is just around us. And he gave them to each of us if we'll just hear and listen.
Pay attention.
And recognize he did this for us.
Amen.
Every one of us.
Thank you, Ray.